Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? God, as we prepare to hear this message that you have laid upon my heart this day, I just pray that each one of us will listen with ears that are bent toward you, and that we will hear the individual challenge in this message, and that we not only listen, but then we also move into the action that you call us to be about. In the name of Jesus, amen. As I was thinking about today, obviously, it's the first Sunday of the year, and so I know that I was thinking about New Year's and resolutions and the vision that each of us would have for 2016. And as I was thinking about this beginning several weeks ago, I don't know why, but that word vision moved me to think about my eyesight. And I was thinking about my eyesight had been virtually 20/20 perfect, whatever, for many, many years. But in the last 5 years or so, I noticed some changes. And so, for example, one of them was when I would preach. Earlier, I used to know who was sitting all in those back rows and even in the balcony. And not only could I see everyone back there, but I could see if they had fallen asleep. And I see the same for those of you sitting in the front also. So all of a sudden I noticed didn't have that kind of clarity any longer. And then I noticed when I would read that I'd think, oh, that font or that print, it was smaller than it used to be, and maybe it was a little darker than it used to be. And so just those kinds of changes. And so it led me to exploring about 5 years ago, I wear glasses, I wear contacts and whatever I want to wear whatever day. But most importantly, what I know is that I like having clear vision and I don't like not having clear vision. So I knew that was I realized that through my eyesight. And so I was thinking about all of us who maybe make these kinds of resolutions for 2016, and really that sets the vision for each one of us for our lives in this upcoming year. And I'm assuming that maybe some have made them, some have not, but I wonder how many have made those resolutions first looking to God to see what God wants your resolution to be this upcoming year. So I thought that's maybe what would be helpful for us to explore together. So the first thing I wanted us to do today is to turn to Scripture. And the Scripture will be projected. The first one will be Proverbs 29:18. You can certainly look in your pew Bibles, but I'll tell you up front that your pew Bible is NRSV version. But today I've elected for this particular Scripture to use the reading from the Message because I felt that it provided a little more clarity for us as we hear this read for us today. So Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this to us. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Take a look at that a little bit. If people can't see what God is doing, and I think there's so much truth in that because I think that sometimes maybe we forget. God is doing all the time. God is always doing for us and through us and with us all the time. And I just think we miss it. And we miss it not because God stops doing, but we miss it because we're maybe not paying attention, or maybe we're not focused on it. And so sometimes we miss what God is doing or desires for our lives and what happens to us. Well, Scripture says they stumble all over themselves. So, for example, how many times in life have you, I know I have, you know, I make my own plans and have my own agenda, and I have my own way that I want to do something. And sometimes in the midst of that, what I find is that I'm kind of forcing it. I have to work extra hard to make it work. And I find myself just expending all kind of energy that's difficult. But if I stop and I think, that's a part of stumbling all over myself. And if I'll pause, or maybe from the beginning had thought about this differently, if I did it according to what God was wanting me to do in my life and following that way, perhaps I wouldn't be stumbling all over myself as much. And then finally that Scripture says, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And what that says to me is, you know what? When you get it, and when you follow God, make God's plans first in your resolution, that's what you get because that's what he reveals, and then you're going to be most blessed. So why wouldn't we do that? And then the other awesome thing in Scripture reminds us that as we talk about God's will and what God wants for us, the really cool thing is that we can know that what God wants for us is the best. Jeremiah 29:11, one of the scriptures that has led me through my life so many times. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God wants for us. I mean, that's what this, God would desire this New Year resolution to be all about. Let's let the vision be God's vision. And go ahead and dream the big dreams then, because your future will be amazing, he said. You'll be blessed. And then I read somewhere that hope is a future with a blueprint. That's what we got. We've got a blueprint that gives us hope. It's like when we follow this kind of vision, it's like being the inventor who invents something amazing because he or she was willing to think outside the box. It's like this a new mom or dad that holds their baby and they have this vision and this dream of what this child is going to become through their life and as they grow into adulthood. And God doesn't want us to get off track, and God doesn't want us to be short-sighted, is what he says to us. I was reading something that talked about situations in history where there was some short-sighted vision. I'll share with you a couple of those visions. Western Union memo of 1876 said this: the telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. Charles Duell, commissioner of the U.S. Office of Patents, 1899, everything that can be invented has been invented. 1899. Thomas Watson, chair of IBM in 1943, said, I think there is a market for maybe 5 computers in the world. And Decca Recording Company, when they turned down signing the Beatles in 1962, said this, we don't like the sound and guitar music is on its way out. Ken Olson, president and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, 1977, vision said, there's no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home. Historical moments can sometimes be short-sighted. They show us that they were. And today, we can be short-sighted also if our vision isn't first driven or directed by God. And so I think that this Epiphany Sunday experience, Epiphany Sunday, the Epiphany a day is always January 6th. Epiphany Sunday is a Sunday that's near that date. Also called the Three Kings Sunday, as we heard the scripture read, and Scott talked to the children about that. And it's also sometimes called Theophany Sunday, Vision of God Sunday. So it's a good time for us to stop and just take a look at that story, because the wise men finally got it. They finally got God's vision for them. You see, when they were living and they were living in this community where King Herod was the king. And in those days, the king not only thought that they were the political ruler, but they also saw them as a god of sort. So there was to be no one else, no one superior or even equal to them. So when this King Herod hears this news that there's a newborn king, he feels pretty threatened. And therefore he says to these three wise men, go and find this newborn king and find where he is and find out all about him and bring that news back to me. So that's why they were set out on the journey. And they followed that star that guided them from the east, and that star stopped over the place where the Christ child had been born. They were a part of the King Herod's vision up to that point. Because he cast his entire vision based upon the fact that he was king. But they arrive at the bedside, and they realize that king was not what they thought it was. And what happened was that God touched their heart. And God recast their vision within their heart. And they knew that no longer that was the truth, and that they had a new vision, and that their journey had to be different. So they returned home by a different route so that they would not take that news or information to King Herod. Because God gave to them a new vision, his vision, and brought some clarity to that. Reminds us today that maybe if we've made resolutions, just maybe, we need to consider a different route before we set that in gold for us for 2016. The church leadership here a year or so ago spent time understanding that a vision is very important. A vision gives us focus and it gives us direction, so we spent a great deal of time developing a vision statement. And as a part of developing that vision statement, out of that came three key words, which I hope you are hearing often, in whether it's in on the website or in print, in the bulletin, or in messages: connect, grow, serve. And we wanted to make it as simple as 1, 2, 3, connect, grow, serve. so that it would help each of us individually and also would help us as a congregation to have plans for the future, to have a vision, to have a blueprint or a map of some sort to guide us. So I'd like to consider for each of us those three differing parts. The first this year, let's consider as individuals and a church in connecting with God and others. Consider connecting with God in worship as we gather on a Sunday morning. Our Sunday morning purpose is to celebrate and to glorify God. In the midst of that, we always hope that we are truly not only about being inspired that 1 hour, but that inspiration is to ignite us and set us on fire so that we will understand that every moment of your life, 24/7, is about worship. It just so happens that this 1 hour of worship, we gather together, but we gather together to get focused on what's important, celebrating God, and then going out into the world and doing what he calls us to do. One of the scriptures as we created this vision statement certainly reminds us of that. Matthew 22. Teacher, what command in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. First thing is, he wants us to make sure that we understand that we're glorifying God and that we're centering our lives on God. And so these worship experiences are key, are foundational to all that we are about. And as a staff, what we're trying to do is create these worship experiences that do inspire us and encourage us on Sunday mornings, but then we're intentionally making what we're calling these handoffs or follow-ups that are opportunities that are directly linked to the next step to bringing worship to be a part of our everyday life. For example, that was a part of the thinking when we created this Jesus came so we can go. So we thought before Christmas, we're all focused on Jesus. Jesus came and gave to us. And what was the purpose? So we can go. And so we say, why don't we directly connect an opportunity to serve, such as collecting those items to make these care packages for the homeless. That was an intentional part of how we understand worship. This year, as individuals and as a church, let's grow in faith and love through biblical learning. And, you know, I like to think about biblical learning being pursuing God's heart. All of the things that help us to pursue God's heart. And I think the thing that we need to remember, no matter where we are in our faith journey, is God has given us this package that is just waiting to be opened. It's a relationship with God. It's to know God's love better and just to know God better. And it's a package all of us have, and it's up to us to open it. And it doesn't happen by God's not going to open it for us. He's given it to us, but he's not going to open it. And it's not going to happen by some, whatever's in there isn't going to get to us by some sort of osmosis or something. We are expected to open that package bit by bit all the time. And I would also say that none of us ever get to the point where we have that package entirely opened that there's nothing more to open. There's always more to open because there's always ways for us to grow in faith. We're never quite there. It's always a journey. It's a progress. And so it's a lifetime of transformation is what God desires. And again, I'm going to say the staff here at Carmel United Methodist Church are committed to understanding that. And we are committed to understanding the way that we can grow in our faith and love through biblical learning is by offering grow groups and educational kinds of classes or experiences. Studies show that the best way, the most important way that persons grow in their faith is to be in a grow group. Because a grow group is about a relationship of a small circle of what becomes your Christian friends, and you're studying together and you're intentional together about your faith, and you encourage one another and support one another through not only the learning but through the life experiences that we look to draw from even further learning that Christ has for us. And so when we recently had a transition in this position on staff, the person who was responsible for grow groups, the minister of adult discipleship, as that person left, it wasn't even a conversation. Well, should we fill this role again? We absolutely filled this role immediately because we know how important it is, and we filled that role with John Coons, and I hope that you'll take an opportunity to meet with him and chat with him this upcoming year. And I will say to every person here that in this last year, if you weren't in a grow group, or if you were not in some sort of educational class at some time, there's a piece of the package you didn't open. There's a piece of the package you did not open. And so hopefully for 2016, that doesn't happen. But hopefully for 2016, you realize that it's not enough for the status quo. What is enough is continually growing. Finally, this year, as individuals and the church, let's serve the local community and world. And I have to say to you, I honestly have been around here enough that I know that a part of the DNA of Carmel United Methodist Church is service and missions. It's just at the heart of who we are. It's like, you know, we couldn't be this church if we weren't serving. And I think that's always to the glory of God. And some of the things that, the ways that we offer to serve have been around for a long time. Our food pantry, serving IHN, we've done those for 20, 30 years at least. And then along the way, that's not always been enough. So along the way, we've realized and God has inspired us to see that there are other opportunities to serve. And we've added those other local opportunities. We have local and national and international opportunities to serve. But we know that we focus more on local because we know that that can grasp the hearts of more of us. And I also know that we don't have yet 100% of us participating in those ways of serving. The second book of Timothy, that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy about. He said, you know what, you're fading a bit. It's like your flame is going out a bit. And what I need you to do is I need to ignite your flame so that you'll use your gifts to serve God, and that's what I need you to do. So I say in the aspect of serving, how often is it that we kind of get in a comfort zone and then we don't step out and consider another aspect or another way to serve? Because sometimes when we step out of our comfort zone, what we find out is that God has given us a yet another spiritual gift that we never even used, and we wouldn't know unless we had tried and stepped out of our comfort zone. So today, as we approach the table, I'd like us to connect the message of today along with receiving our communion this day. And so I would like us to be focused on connecting and growing and serving, and understanding this to be a moment that we are indeed, a gift has been given to us, and we are indeed to be here nourished, not just to hold it in a package and never open it, but to go out into the world and to grow in our own faith in the way that we serve others. So I hope that most of you have received a little piece of paper, so I'm going to ask you to get that little piece of paper out. And if you did not, it's okay. You can get one from the pew in front of you. You can grab one of those envelopes, and it's okay, because if they're gone, I'll get in trouble, and I don't care. So go ahead, and if you didn't get a piece of paper, grab one of those envelopes, because here's what I need you to do. It's not homework today. It's a lesson right now. I don't want you to write your name on it, but I do want you to write one word on it. And you have a choice of three words to choose from, and here's the instructions. The three words that I want you to choose from, choose one: connect or grow or serve. And here's what I want to have you consider when you choose which word. Which way in your life for 2016 do you need to be growing in your faith? Do you need to be growing in the way that you connect, grow, or serve? Maybe you even feel like you're doing a little bit of everything. That's great. That's awesome. But maybe you need to step it up a little bit. Or maybe you're a little bit out of balance. Maybe you got a whole lot of serving going on and a whole lot of connecting going on, but you're not growing necessarily. Maybe it's out of balance. But this year, that's what I want you to be about. Either connect or grow or serve. And here's what I want you to do. When you come up to receive communion, I want you to bring your piece of paper. And I've already written my word on here. And if you want to know what it is, it's the only yellow paper up here. the choir, I gave yellow papers, but they probably won't bring them. I don't know if they'll bring them. Okay, and then just lay it here. And I want that to be your commitment for 2016 to God, to do what he calls you to do, to be growing in your faith. Following all the services, I'm going to gather up all these pieces of paper, and I don't need your names on them. And I will take them, and I will kind of tally up how many connect, how many grow, how many serve. Every Sunday this year, I will pray for all of us, for all of you, the commitment that we have made as a church, whether it's to be to connect or to grow or to serve. This won't necessarily be about growing the numbers of person that come to worship, but it's going to be about growing the depth of the relationship that all of us have with Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope for this congregation this year, is that we will grow in the depth of our relationship with Jesus Christ.